Now we're holding on to Zion Amun Bey's the second Mishnah. Mishnah says, Dam shnis out of the mayim, if blood of Korbanos got mixed with water, we'll see in the Gemara what fell into what. Im yesh bo maris dam, so if it has the appearance of blood, kosher, then it's still kosher to sprinkle on the mizbeach. It's not bottle, in other words. But if it already doesn't look like blood anymore, then you can't do that. the nisar of the yayin, what if it gets mixed with wine, and wine bederach klal is red? So now, mela with water, you'd be able to tell how much, whether the blood is still looks like blood, but with wine, you're not going to be able to tell. Roy knows the kilo of mayim, so you have to consider that wine as though it was water and do the same kind of thing. If, let's say, for example, we're talking about an amount of blood that once it was mixed with a gallon of water, then it's going to be bottled and it won't look like blood anymore. Well, the same way now it got mixed with a gallon of wine, you would say the same thing. This arab bedam behema bedam achaya, if it got mixed with blood of a behema of a chulin or a chaya, which is always a wild animal, which is always going to be chulin, roy knows the kilo of mayim, then also we consider it as though it was blood. Again, same idea. In other words, we would say that, let's say, a gallon of the blood of the chulin or of the chaya. But otherwise, and again, if you have enough that now it's that now had it been that amount of water, it would have made it bottle. then it's considered bottle, and then we can't sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Tosfos brings up the point that if it's a blood of a behema or a chaya, the fact is, we're saying roya noisekilu mayim, we imagine as though it was water. It's not going to be mevatel the blood, but the fact is it's not water, so how can we now go and be putting that blood of cholin on the mizbeach? It's one thing, fine, we talk about before, roya noisen kilo and eitzim, sometimes we can consider things that are burnt on the mizbeach as though it was wood. It's one thing we say that maybe chulin in the azorah is not even daraisa, but not to go so far as to go and sprinkle it on the mizbeach. So Tosfos says, because the fact is, you're not doing it for the sake of the posel mela. If you were to take blood of chulin and sprinkle it on the mizbeach, you're right, that would be, you're not allowed to do that. But here, you have blood of kodshim mixed in with it. And you're doing it for the sake of the blood of the Kodshim, so we're not going to worry about that so much. So it's fine, and we'll be able to sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't dam mevatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda says that blood is not mevatel blood. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda learns it like this. We find on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol takes in the blood of the parents, sprinkles it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the blood of the Sohr, and eventually there comes a point in the process where he mixes the blood of the par and the Sohr together and applies the mixture to the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now, there's a lot more blood in a par than there is in a Sohr. If you were to say that blood is mevatel blood, then how would that work? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you derive from that, that blood is not mevatel blood. In general, we say that min b'minoy is often not bottle. There's a famous Ran on that, the Nedarim, that explains the whole idea of bittel is that two things counteract one another. The whole idea is that two things counteract one another. Well, here, they don't counteract each other, just the opposite. They're the same min, so therefore they reinforce each other. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda says, so the Chum agree, of course, in the case of the Par and the Sur, they're not Mavatal, but they say that's different because they actually have the same din. They both are offered, they both are sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so therefore it really is min b'minay, as opposed to here we're talking about blood of Kodshim and blood of Chulin. The Chum are going to say that's not considered min b'minay, because even though physically it is the same thing, it's both blood, but nevertheless, as far as the din is concerned, they're different. One's kodshim, one's fulin, and therefore the chum say it's not going to be, and therefore the chum say it can be mevatalit, and therefore again, so therefore it could be mevatalit, and therefore if you have enough blood of chulin or whatever, then it can be mevatal the blood of the kodshim, and then you can't sprinkle it on, and then you can't sprinkle it on them as there. Next, nis'ar of the dam psulin. What happens if the blood of the korban got mixed with blood of psulin, animals that are possible altogether to bring for korban? For example, Rashi Saviad gives the example of a korban that was shechted chutzlas mana, a korban that was shechted with a thought of people. Regular Rashi on the side says over here, for example, Reveya or Nirba, or also, yeah, chutzlas mana or chutzlas mikorban. Anyway, so now you have blood of a korban was mixed with those. So you shot it for Amma, then the din is we pour it out into the water channel in the Azara, as we do usually with blood. That's possible, as we learned about earlier in the Masechta. Yeah, there was a water channel running through the Azara, famously on Erev Pesach, when we say the Sage of Korban Pesach. And we talk about that they would stop its outflow so that it floods the floor of the Azara, and then they can clean it easily. But during the rest of the year, they would use it, among other things, if they have blood or sometimes other small things that are possible to bring on the Mizbeach, then they would throw them into the Amma and they would get washed out of the Azara. Rashi points out that this is really going to be because of Gzeira. We're not going to say, in other words, even now in this case, all this time we were talking about where there's more pusel than kosher, and therefore the blood doesn't look like blood anymore, so there's too much water or too much wine or whatever. Here Rashi says, Rashi and Rashi Ksaviad says, that even if... That even if there's more kosher blood than pusel, nevertheless we're going to make a gzeira, as the Gemara is going to eventually point out, that we make a gzeira to not allow us to put it on the mizbeach anyway. Rashi also points out further on, they didn't make that gzeira when it comes to blood of a behemoth or a chaya, because it's uncommon to have those in the Azara. Generally speaking, people don't bring fulin into the Azara, since after all it is also to do. So therefore, so we don't have to make a gzeira that if you allow it, then people are going to think that you're allowed to put blood of chulin animals on the mizbeach. When you're talking about psulin, which might fairly commonly be found in the Azara, whether we're talking about psulin, as Rashi Ksaviad says, only, for example, chutzlas manoi, which after all is kodshim and is potentially a relatively common kind of thing. Okay, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya these days that pigul, certain details of halachas of pigul may be something that never happened, but nevertheless, so then pigul in general is something preposterous that could happen fairly often. And anyway, regular Rashi points out there are other possibilities over here. So then there's more likelihood that such blood will be in the Azara, and therefore we're going to make a gzeira if it's mixed with the kosher of blood to not sprinkle on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, the din will be, though, we can't right away pour it into the Amma, because Rashi later on in Perek says, we can't right away pour it into the Amma, because the fact is, on a Daraisa level, it would have still been good to sprinkle on the mizbeach. It's only, and even our Mishnah is going to say that, but the Eved, you did it, it's kosher, so it's only what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to wait until Shkia, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, the blood becomes pusel at Shkia time, and then you can spill it out into the Amma. Next, what about the Dama Tamsis? What about if the blood gets mixed with Dama Tamsis? We've learned earlier in the Masechta that when you shecht an animal, you have several stages where the blood comes out, and there are actually slightly different colorations as well, because you have the venous blood and the arterial blood. So there's a big gush that comes out, that's Dama Nefesh, and there's an opinion in the Masechta Krusos that also right before that, where it starts dribbling out, there's also considered Dama Nefesh. But before and after that, you have it before and after that when it drips out, then that's not considered Dama Nefesh, that's called Dama Tatsis, and that's not kosher to put on the Mizbeach. So then you shofar for Amma, so then you also have to pour it out into the Amma, because again you can't put Dama Tamsis on the Mizbeach, and again that would apply even if and again that will apply even when the Dama Nefesh is the Ruiv. Because again, we don't want to have that. If the Dama Tamsis is the Roiv, then it should be, then we should allow it. So we don't want to do that. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says that it's kosher, because he says that, in particular, as far as the Dama Tamsis, that it's unlikely that the Dama Tamsis is going to be, it's unlikely it would ever happen that the Dama Tamsis will be more than the Dama Nefesh. In an actual animal itself, when you shecht an animal, of course it won't be, it will never be that way. You're always going to have more Dama Nefesh because it's a big gush. The point is, you might conceivably have, when you do the Kabbalah, that you're makabel, you don't do the Kabbalah of all of the Dama Nefesh, only a small amount of it, and then you have more Dama Tamsis, but Rabbi Eliezer says that's very unlikely, and Now, that's very unlikely. That's there's actually two explanations in the Gemara. So we're actually going to have two explanations in the Gemara later on in Testament Days. One explanation is that it's very unlikely that first we have Rav Zid saying that that appointed Rabbi Eliezer, we don't make Zeris in the Bis Mikdash, which would mean that Rabbi Eliezer is actually arguing on all the previous cases where we said that it's possible. Also when it was mixed with Dam Psulim, also when it was mixed with Dam Atamsis, so Rabbi Eliezer would say you don't make Zeris to Rabbanon to pass all the Kodshim. Rav Papa says that no, everybody agrees that you could make such Zeris, but how likely is it that there would be Dama Tamsis more than Dama Nefesh? Rabbi Eliezer considers it very unlikely, so no need to make a Zera, whereas the Chachamim hold that it is necessary to make that Zera. Continues the Mishnah finishes off. Imloy Nimlach, if a Toyin did not take advice, meaning if he didn't ask what to do, the Nosan, and he put the blood on the Mizbeach with the mixture of Damatamsis or Damsulin, kosher, then it's kosher, because after all, the blood of the Korban did reach the Mizbeach, so he shouldn't have done it, because you're not supposed to put blood of Psulim or Damatamsis on the Mizbeach, but he did it, then it's kosher. We have other examples like that in here and there in the Sefer Kodshim where in Kinim you have them a few times, for example, where you're not supposed to do something because there was a mixture and you're not supposed to and then Midrabbanan we're going to say that it's osur or even sometimes potentially you have psulim daraisa, but nevertheless you're able to do something b'dieved and it'll be acceptable. We talked about earlier in the Masechta a few times various cases of mixed up broods. So there's another example. Hafchila, you have a number of cases of mixed up broods. You shouldn't be mocked with any of them because we don't want to do potentially possible korbanos, but nevertheless, imloy nimlach, if he didn't ask and he did it, then we're going to have to consider, okay, well, which ones can we figure out mathematically are going to be kosher and which one not? So the same way over here, the fact is, blood of the korban did reach the mizbeach, so even though he shouldn't have done it, then it's still kosher. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. When we talk about in the beginning of the Mishnah about that if the blood is mixed with water, and we said if there's so much water that it doesn't look like blood anymore, then it's possible. And we said the same thing with other liquids that we consider them as though they're water. That would apply only when the water fell into the blood. So then what we say is each drop as it fell in became bottled. So a little bit of water is not going to be enough to pass all the blood. Only when you have so much water that now, basically what you say is, now you have a concept sometimes in halacha that even though something is bottled, sometimes we can still say choze veneer, that it wakes up again when there's enough of it. It comes up in Hilchos Pesach, as far as comments, it comes up in a number of different areas of halacha. So the same way over here, the first drop falls in, bottle, second drop falls in, bottle, eventually you have enough drops of water that fall in, then it's not bottle anymore, now we say that it overpowers the blood and it doesn't even look like blood anymore, and therefore you can't sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Tosfos brings a point based on a different Gemara that there may be a difference, there'll be a difference in that regard, how much spilled in at a time, versus whether it was literally, like we're saying, drop by drop over here, or when we're talking about that, for example, you take a barrel and pour it in a gush into another barrel, then we wouldn't say rishin bottle. That's when the water falls into the blood, then we're saying that as it falls in, then it becomes bottle, and the only thing that will make it possible then is if choz of a near is if you have enough water that now it becomes that now it overpowers the blood. Abel nofel dam l'sich mayim, but says Rav Priya Ba'aba, if the blood fell into water, then it's the other way around. Rishin bottle, as each drop of blood falls in, then it's bottle, and now you're not even going to have choz of a near because here you have a factor called. So here you have a factor called dichui that we learned earlier in the Masechta several times, and including earlier in our Perek, that once something is rejected from being a korban, very often it can't be accepted again. When it comes to live animals, we've talked about a few times the machlokas whether dichui applies, but here we're talking about blood. Everybody agrees that dichui would apply. Rashi over here, so Rashi and Tosfos over here explain that it is in fact this matter of dichui. And we're not even going to say chos of a nir, and that's going to prevent us even from saying chos of a nir. There was a different Tosfos where Rabbeinu Tam explained that no, because the difference is was it mixed in without a hefsek or not. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam says elsewhere, had the blood of the kodshim been pouring continuously into the water, we might well say chos of a nir, and we wouldn't say nir of a nir. We wouldn't say that it's nidcha and not acceptable again, only because of a here. We're talking about that a drop fell in, and then another drop, and then another drop. Then we're going to say that there. Then we're going to say that rishin bottom. So in any case, if so again, if the water falls into the blood, then we can say rishin bottle, but eventually the water will be choizavanir. But when it's the other way around, we're not going to say that the blood becomes possible when one drop of it falls into water, because it definitely doesn't look like blood then. And even when you have more of it falls in, and eventually it becomes enough, it's not going to be allowed because it's not going to be choizavanir. According to many Rishonim, because of the problem of Dichuy, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, because we're talking about over here that it fell in drop by drop. However, the Gemara continues, Amar Papo le'inim kisui eina kein. However, when it comes to kisui adam, then it's not like that. Then we don't say that. Suppose you shechted a bird or a wild animal, and you need to cover the blood, you need to do kisui adam. So now, if the blood falls into water, so then, and we also have a similar concept that discusses in Chulin, whether it still looks like blood or not, there we're not going to say that, even if the blood spilled into the water, as long as it looks like blood, you still have to do kisui adam, lefisha in dichui b'mitzvahs, because he says there's no concept of dichui when it comes to other mitzvahs. Yes, you're going to say the first drop was nidcha because it didn't look like blood, and therefore there's no mitzvah of kisui adam in it. But eventually, chos v'nir, in other words, the concept of dichui applies only to kodshim. It doesn't apply to, here you have a mitzvah to cover the blood, but the blood itself is not kodesh, so then we can say the concept of chos v'nir just as we would, for example, by chometz and other such things. When it comes to korbanos, then we can't say that. And again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the distinction would be that there we're talking about that it's spilled in continuously, whereas here we're talking about it was drop by drop. Okay. Now, let's talk about this topic of things getting mixed together and being mevato one another, and then we're going to bring in our Mishnah as a proof in the matter. Suppose you have meat of korbanos, some pigle, some noiser, and some meat which is tomei. If he mixed them together and ate them. So Rashi explains, he took a kazayas of one, a kazayas of another, and it doesn't have to be all three. Let's say, for example, just two of them, and he put them in and started chewing them, and as he's chewing them, they get mixed together. Tosfos actually learns, and then Karen Oda points out that the word in the Gemara of Lolon seems to support Tosfos, that we're talking about that he mixed them before he ever put them in his mouth. So according to Rashi, and by the way, here we're done with Rashi Ksavyad, now we're back to regular Rashi, at this point, printed by the side of the Gemara. In any case, Rashi explains that when he's chewing them, they get mixed, whereas Tosfos explains that we're talking about that he mixed them before he ever put them in his mouth. Anyway, Potter, so the Shlokesh says he's going to be Potter from Malchus. Because it's impossible that it won't be Potter, but that one won't be Mevatel, the other one Beroy. Meaning, Midar Raisa, things are Potter Beroy. But in Rabbanon, you have details about when things are Potter and when are not, as we've been discussing throughout this parak. So now what happens is, Rashi explains, now you have, when you chew them, inevitably, you're going to have, let's say, for example, he did a kazayas of pigle and a kazayas of noiser. Now, what happens is, as he's chewing them, a little bit of the kazayas of noiser, let's say, ends up mixed in together with a little bit of pigle. And then it's bottle, beroy, because now you have more pigle than noiser. So now you have less than a kazayas of noiser. And the same thing in reverse. So you don't really have a complete shear of either one of them. So now we don't know what we should give him hasra. So we can't give him a proper hasra because either one that we give him hasra, it's going to be hasra suffix, and therefore we can't be mechayev them. In the end, of course, it actually points out, in the end, he's obviously been over on one of them, unquestionably, but the fact is, at the time of the Hasura, it was a suffix which one he's going to be over on, and you can't give a Hasura like that. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos has some questions on that. All they have to do is give him a Hasura on all of them, and that way he'll be covered no matter what, and a number of other questions that that Tosfos asks. And anyway, Tosfos says, if we assume the Rav Shlokesh said Tigul, Noser, and Tomei, if in fact he means all three of them, and we don't necessarily mean just two of them, like Rashi said, then for sure it's bottle anyway. The Tomei will be bottle relative to the Tigul and the Noser, and the Noser will be bottle relative to the Tigul and the Tomei, and so forth. So then of course it's bottle, so then there's nothing to talk about. So rather, Tosfos says, let's say you're talking about, you have, for example, two kazaisim of pigul and one kazais of noser all in one piece. Now, what do we mean by one piece? It can't mean the pasht just one piece of meat, because you can't have a piece of meat which is partially pigul and partially noser. So the pasht just, we mean, let's say, for example, he took some pigul and noser and made them together. Let's say, for example, he made a meat pie out of them or something. Then you have another one that has two kazaisim of noser and one of pigul. So now he eats one of these pieces, and they tell him, don't eat pigle, but this one might be the one that has mostly noser, and then later on he'll eat the other one. So now the thing is they didn't give him the proper hasra. And then Tosfos goes on to say another possibility, it really is only two of them, but he took two of them, he took two kazesim of one and two kazesim of the other, and mixed it together. So you're going to have inevitably, like similar to what Rashi says, one of them is inevitably going to be a mute within the roiv or the other one in some part of the plate, and therefore, we're saying over here that things are going to be mavato one another. So we have a couple of different ways of explaining what exactly the scenario is, but in any case, Rish Lakish says that he's potter because you're going to have bittul over here. So the Gemara says Shema Mina Tlas. In which case, then, based on that, based on what Rish Lakish is saying. Now, so far we're just saying Rish Lakish is saying this. We'll learn in the Gemara later on. Bez Hashem, we'll learn tomorrow that not everybody agrees on that. We're going to say in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Tes that Rabbi Elazar holds that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rish Lakish on that and says that he's still not mavato one another. But for the time being, let's deal with Rish Lakish's opinion. So, Shnamina Tlas. So there are three things that we can derive from what Rish Lakish is saying. Shnamina Isurin Mavatlin Zeseh. The first thing we can derive is that Isurin are able to be mavato one another. Exactly that we're saying over here. The pigle and the noser and the tomei are going to be mavato one another. We're not going to say that, we're not going to say that since they're all osur, then they each have a hashivus of their own and they're not mavato. No, they can still be bottle. The second thing we can learn from what Rish Lakish holds is that when we always talk about the issue of nois and tam, that something gives a flavor into something else, that issue is not daraisa. You're not allowed to eat it, but there wouldn't be an issue daraisa if you have, for example, something that was flavored with pigle or with noisa or whatever, then he wouldn't be getting malchus. Why? How do we see that? Because we're talking about over here, let's say, following Rashi's scenario, a kazayas of noisa and a kazayas of pigle, and he's chewing them together. Sure, let's say you have that in different parts of his mouth, you're going to have different parts that are going to be mevatel one another because of roiv. Nevertheless, doesn't it give in a flavor? Don't you have the flavor of a whole shear together? At this point, the Gemara is assuming, Rashi points out, that for purposes of the question, for purposes of the next question that Rava is going to ask in a few lines, the Gemara is assuming that Rish Lakish's scenario is where the pigle and the noiser are different types of food. For example, one of them is meat, and the other one is the leftover part of a mincha. So he put in his mouth a kazayas of meat of noiser, let's say, and a kazayas of pigle of a mincha. Now, what we're saying is, in one part of his mouth, you're going to have a little bit of mincha is going to get wedged in between some meat, and therefore, so now we subtract that from the mincha, and we don't have a kazayas of mincha, which is pigle anymore. And then vice versa, we would say as far as the meat. But the fact is, you see, he still has, at the same time, in his mouth, he has a flavor of a kazayas of mincha, and a flavor of a kazayas of meat. And nevertheless, Rish Lakish is still saying that it's bottle, showing that he holds that the concept of tambaroyz is not doraisa. Otherwise, we would say it doesn't matter whether it's been bottled or not. The fact is that it still gave a flavor. So we're saying, in other words, Rashi is saying that the point is he wouldn't get malchus. So does that mean that we would say it actually is daraisa? It's just he wouldn't get malchus. Or does it mean that actually lav daraisa means literally the whole thing is not daraisa? Different achronim talk about possibilities as far as that. Anyway, that's the second thing we can learn from what Rosh Lakish is saying. And the third thing, the third thing we can derive from that is a point that Rosh Lakish himself mentions in other places in Shas, that Hasra Sofik is not a valid Hasra. Meaning exactly that. Like in our scenario over here, we don't know which one he's going to end up having done the issue of. Conceivably, you might have that some of the pigul mincha gets wedged in and becomes bottle among the meat, and therefore becomes bottle, and now you don't have a kazayis of pigul, but he has a complete kazayis of noiser because none of the noiser got mixed up like that, or the other way around. You can't be sure, and therefore the shlokah says you can't give him asra based on a suffix of which one he's going to end up being over. So Rosh Lakish says that point in the Sefer Makos. So here we can also derive it from this din that he's saying over here. Well, the Gemara says, let's focus on that second thing about Nos and Tam not being Daraisa, Mosviv Rava. So Rava says, I have a contradiction. I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Masechta Chala. Now Tosfos points out, why is he asking Davka from there? We have in Kol HaTorah Kula, and in all over the Torah, we have the concept of Tam Ke'ikar, that the taste of something is considered like the actual body of the Isur itself. So then in that case, that makes it fairly clear that it is Daraisa. So as Noin Ashas mentions a couple of things in this connection. First of all, again, it can mean that, again, even if we say that it is Daraisa, maybe there's no Malkus. So in that case, then what's Rava asking? Maybe you could say, fine, let's say maybe Tam Ke'ikur is in fact Dirabanan, Or rather, what Gurin Ashas says is, where is Rava getting as a given that Tam Ke'ikur is in fact Daraisa? Maybe indeed it's only Dirabanan, and the answer is based on this Mishnah. So that would explain why that would kind of answer Tosfos' question. Why is he not asking from all over Shas where we say Tam Ke'ikur? Because we could say those are Dirabanan, but here we're going to have a Mishnah that implies that it's actually Daraisa, because we're talking about having the mitzvah of Chala and being able to be Yotze with it for Matzah. Namely, a Mishnah says, Osi isa min chitinu min oiras. If a person made dough from a mixture of wheat flour and rice flour, strictly speaking, now Tadeva points out that Rashi in Brachas translates oiras as millet. So in that case, which is why the Lubavitcher minhag is not to eat rice by itself, but rather to eat it in a meal of bread, or to eat it with other foods that have the different brachas because of the suffix, whether it's hadama or whether it's hadama or mazonis or shakel. But the more usual translation of odas is rice, so we'll, for convenience, we'll just use that. Anyway, the Mishnah says that if a person made a dough from wheat flour and rice flour mixed together, im yesh v'tam dogon, if it tastes like wheat bread, chayev es v'chala, then it's chayev and chala. Now, chala applies only to the chamesh es aminin, and rice is not one of them, or millet, for that matter, is not one of them. So you see that tam ke'ikir is daraisa, because v'afagav deruba oiras. On the face of it, you're talking about even if the majority of the dough is rice flour, and only a minority is wheat flour, and nevertheless, he's still saying as long as it tastes like wheat, then you still have to take challah from it. So wouldn't that show that tam ke'ikir, even on a daraisa level, so how can Mishlokish say otherwise? So the answer is midrabanan. Fine, you can say it's only chayev in chala only midrabanan. So the Gemara says yipachi aim a sefer. If you're going to say that, then you're going to say that's only midrabanan. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Adam yotzibo yidei chevosib a pesach. A person, if he has such a dough, he could bake it into matzah and use it to be yotzib the mitzvah of matzah. We of course don't eat rice and millet and all these other things on pesach, but that's a gzera of kitnius. That's a gzera of kitnius, which is from long after the time of the Gemara. That's from the time of the goyim or the rishonim. So never mind that. As far as ikar adin, you would be allowed. as far as Iker Adin, you would be allowed to eat rice on Pesach. So therefore, so now he's going to have a dough, which is partially rice, or even majority rice, and a minority flour. And as long as it tastes like as long as a minority wheat flour, and as long as it tastes like wheat, then he's able to be then he's able to use it for matzah and Pesach. So we see now here we can't be talking about derabbanan anymore. There can't be something which deraisa wouldn't work for matzah and derabbanan would. So therefore, it's very clear that deraisa tam ki ikur. That even if we don't have that much of the ikur over here. We only have a little bit of wheat flour in there, but it's enough to give it a flavor of wheat, and then it's considered kosher matzah. So we see that on a deraisa level it works. So how can Rish Lakish say? That we don't say that Nosin Tam Baroid is not Daraisa. Rashi's Girsa, by the way, Rashi does not have the part in the middle about that that with Chala could be Dirabbanan, but then the Gemara asks from the Sefer because the Machshon would know. He knows the entire Mishnah that the end of it mentions Matzah and Pesach, so there's the Tarutzan rather the Gemara that's giving the answer would have no reason to try to answer to fob it off by saying Dirabbanan when he knows perfectly well that the next part of the Mishnah says about Matzah and Pesach. Anyway, the point is, the same idea, in other words, is that Tam is clearly Ke'ikir. Otherwise, fine, as far as Challah, maybe you could fall us off and say that's only Dirabbanan, but as far as Matzah, you don't have that option. So how does Rish Lakish understand that? So the Gemara tries, Ela min b'she'en and min b'tayma. Rather, we're going to answer as follows, maybe. A point of Rish Lakish, we're going to say, when it's min b'she'en and min, when it's different minim, and you can tell the flavor, then you're right, b'tayma. Then when do they become bottle? When you can't taste the flavor anymore. So yes, in the case of rice mixed with wheat, only if it doesn't taste of wheat anymore, then we'll say it doesn't have the dinim of wheat, and there's no challah from it, and you can't be yotze matzah with it. As long as you can tell the flavor, then he would actually be chayav min haTorah. Min b'minoy b'ruba. However, when it comes to min b'minoy, since the flavors are the same anyway, then we're going to say that it goes strictly according to Rav. So now, the Shlokish's case involving the pigle and the noser and the tome would be along those lines then. We'd be talking about, we assume that we're talking about different kinds of things. We're talking about, like we said, for example, a mincha of flour versus a korban versus meat from a korban, and one of them is pigle and one of them is noser, let's say. Now we're going to say, no, we're talking about, let's say, from two different korbanas, one of which is pigle and one of which is noser. So now there's no matter of time. Now there's no taste. So therefore, he can say that the mevatel each other b'roiv. So therefore, it would come out. In other words, it would come out from this question and the answer that in fact, when we started saying that there were three things we learned from the Shlokish Din, in fact, we can't learn three. We can only learn two. We can't learn that nosin tam b'roiv lav daraisa, because in fact, when there is nosin tam involved, it will in fact be daraisa, and he'll be chayev, and even to the extent of being chayev malchus for eating it. Only when it comes to min b'minoy, then we would say it's bottle, but then that's not what Rish Lakish is talking about. Okay, the Gemara asks, so Rishayim min b'minoy ke min b'she'en b'minoy. Fine, but why do we have to say that there should be a difference in that regard between min b'minoy and min b'she'en b'minoy, and say that in the one case, we're going to look at the taste. And in the other case, since the tastes are the same, then we're going to have to go according to Roiv, and we're going to be mevatel just based on Roiv, even though, I mean, let's consider, you could have 49% of one Isser and 51% of the other Isser. It's certainly going to give a flavor into it. And yet you're going to tell me that we're able to be mevatel the Roiv. How can we be mezalzel? How can we treat Isserim so carelessly like that? And say that even though had it been min b'she'en b'minoy, it would have been bottle. Now because min b'minoy, we're going to allow it to be bottled even when it's almost 50%. Why don't we do an ashar min b'minoy to min b'she'en b'minoy? Why don't we evaluate how much of a flavor would there been had there been any b'minoy in there? Similar to the Gemara is going to bring our Mishnah in this connection where we see that sometimes we say royin, that we consider one liquid as though it was another to see whether the blood is bottle or not. So we should do the same kind of thing over here. We should say, fine, here you have 49% of the thing is pigle, 51% percent is noiser. You're saying min b'minoy, but you're saying because min b'minoy it's bottle b'roiv. Fine. Figure, what if the 49% had been a mincha and the 51% had been meat? You would certainly taste the mincha in there. So then say it's not bottle. How can we be mezalzel in an issur so much to say that we should be mevatel at b'roiv and ignore the point that there is a tab over here? Tosfos points out, even though now Rashi uses the expression that we'd be mezalzel in it, which might make it sound like we're talking about a din d'rabbanon. Like, how could the Rabbanon allow us to be so careless with it? But it's not really, because we're talking about a d'oraisa level. So the point is, on a d'oraisa level, how could we do such a thing? So Shittim Chuvetz goes further and has a long discussion over here that we have many places in the Torah where we find min b'mino is botel b'roiv, and the Gemara never asks that. Why over here? And he says because of the difference over here, because dam kodshim, the fact is, as we said in our Mishnah, if you applied it to Mizeah with the Yevon, you will be Yotza. So therefore we have reason to ask that. So we could say that damn kodshim, and also the next thing that the Mishnah is going to bring up, as far as a Mishnah, well, we should be able to say royin. Why don't we say royin? Why don't we say that we can consider as though it was something else, and therefore it wouldn't be bottle. When it comes in, when it comes to most other Isurim, though, we're not going to say that. We're the Gemara is not bothered by that in other places, because it's true, we have no problem of saying it's bottle b'roiv. But over here, when it comes to the pig or the noister, the question is, why don't we not consider as though it's min b'she'en and minoy? Because again, I mean, the fact is, we do have, there are the isurim over here, pig or and pig or noister, yeah, and whatever, and therefore we should, we should consider, since there is a flavor over here, and we know that nois and tam is daraisa, as we just established, then we should say that, then we should say, it's actually Shittim Chuvetz explains that really the question in the Gemara may be as follows. Just the opposite. Yes. So we should count as though it was min b'min, as though it was min b'she'en and minay, and that way he can get malchus. So why don't we do that? After all, it's not. It's like we learned in our Mishnah. This Arab b'yayin, we said the blood of the korban got mixed with wine. Royin oisekilu umayim, we consider it as though it was water. My love, royin oisekilu kilu umayim. Now, what does that mean? On the face of it, it means that we consider the wine that the blood was mixed in with as though it was water. And we consider, how much water is this? How much would the blood have been bottled in that water? If it is, then... if it is, then it's possible to sprinkle on the mizbeach, and otherwise it's kosher. Meaning, even though, meaning, even when it comes to min b'minoy, we're not going to say it's bottle b'roy, we're going to consider it like min b'she'en minoy. Now, of course, wine and blood are different minim, but in terms of the color, they're the same thing, and the color is really what we care about over here. So that shows, in other words, that we concede it. Even when you have min mixed minoy, we still consider it sometimes as though it was min b'she'en and minoy, and we're going to consider it as though it was something else. To be sure, the Shittim Chuvetz says, yeah, you could always say that Resh Lakish means literally min b'minoy and not over here where they are, the only similarity is in the color, but nevertheless, fine, at least you have later in the Mishnah, you have where there is blood involved. We talk about where there's blood of chulin involved, and we still say that we consider it as though it was water. So fine, even if you want to be doichak and say with wine, it's not such a question, but the question would be how it works as far as when you come to blood of a behema or chaya that got mixed in with it. So the Gemara answers Roy, not necessarily is that what it means. Maybe the other way around, Roy and Oisel Adam Kielu Mayim. Maybe it means that we consider the blood as though it was water. Meaning water is possible to sprinkle on them as they are. Water is possible to sprinkle on the mizbeach, yeah, misa hamayim, once a year, but that's a special case. Ordinarily, you don't sprinkle water on the mizbeach. So we would say that now the blood is considered like water, and therefore it's bottled. So you would say that what we're doing is that we don't consider, so we consider that yes, the blood is the min of the wine. We consider that blood now completely possible as though it was water, and therefore we say that. So therefore we're saying that it's mixed in with wine. You can't tell whether it would look like blood, and therefore we're saying it's possible. Well, it says Yehochi, bottle me boile. Then why does the Mishnah have to say royin oisek idu mayim? You consider it as though it was water. Just say flat out that it's bottled. because that would be the din in that case, according to what you're saying. As soon as it falls into wine, then it's bottled. But oid, besides that, Tanya, we learned in a brisa about a case involving tovel and things in a mikveh. We're also, we have this point about royin, that sometimes we say that we have min b'minoy and we consider it min b'she'ena minoy. Namely, a brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now you have like this, you have, the case is that you have a keli. So further on, the Gemara is going to bring the entire case, but right now we're just bringing part of it. So you have a case, let's say you have a keli that's tomei, and you have liquid inside the keli. And now you tovel the keli with that liquid in it. The liquid we're talking about over here is the case is the Gemara is going to quote the entire brisa in a couple of lines. But we're talking about, let's say you have white wine or milk inside the keli. So now those kinds of things, you dip them in the mikveh, then they're going to be bottled in the color of the water. The color of the water was not going to be so. The color of the water was not so different than the color of white wine or the color of milk. And therefore, so now if you tovel the keli with the liquid inside it. So now Rabbi Yehuda Omer Royin Oseh Kilu Yain Odin. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to consider that white wine or that milk as though it was red wine and figure out im diha mareu, if so much water went into the keli that had there been that equal amount of red wine in there, the wine would now lose its color. It would be diluted color. Kosher. Then the tevila of the keli is kosher. The imlav possible, and if not, then it's possible, because then we say that the liquid is not bottled in the water, basically. Now we see that we have this case where royin, where we consider, even though there was a, so like this, for example, there was white wine in there, and white wine, even you have a small amount of mikvah water gets in it, it's going to look exactly like the mikvah water, and you would say the tevila is kosher. Nevertheless, we don't do that. We consider it as though it was red wine, and for red wine, you need a lot more water to get into the keli in order to be mevatel it. So we see that we consider, even though it's min b'minoy, because in this case we're talking about white wine versus water, which is essentially the same min as far as the color is going, and as far as the color goes, and nevertheless we say it wouldn't work, and we consider it as though it's red wine. So by the same logic, then we should say that when it comes to min b'minoy, when it comes to Resh Lakish's case, Anamad Aleph, of Pigel and Noser that were mixed together and chewed together, and you're going to say that one of them is mevatel the other, because we're going to talk about where they have the same flavor. Why should we do that? Why shouldn't we consider as though they have different flavors, and therefore it shouldn't be bottled, and therefore it should depend on the taste, like we said before. So again, we have the point, the Shittim Kobetzis points out, the fact is wine and water are not the same min, but so he says that rather the point is that we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds Royim, and the Chachamim, so then from what Rabbi Yehuda says, we can derive something about what the Chachamim would say, that they're arguing whether we say Royim or not, but they're just arguing if min b'mino is bottle or not, so then in that case, then... So returning to our Mishnah, then you should say that it necessarily has to mean, if we're talking about royin, it doesn't mean that we consider the blood as though it was water, and therefore it's possible. It should be the other way around. It would have to mean that we see the wine as though it was water, just like in that brisa, and say, therefore, that it means that if there's enough water to dilute the blood, then it's possible, and if not, then not. Okay. So the question is then, we see that we do in many cases say that we consider one thing as though it was another as far as the dinim of bittul. Why, according to the Shlokish, would we not say that by the pigul and the noser? And the answer is tanoi. The answer is actually machlokas tanoim. Because we just brought Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that says that royin, that we consider the white wine as though it was red wine and see whether there's enough mikvah water to be mevatel, but not everybody agrees with that. So our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yehuda as far as that goes. Rabbi Yehuda would disagree about the case where it's actually mixed with blood. We have in the Mishnah. He says, "Ein dam avatal dam," but we would say that the earlier part of the Mishnah, where you're talking about that it's mixed with water, with mixed with wine, and you want to consider the wine like water, that would be a point of Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, the Tanya we learn in the Braisa. Let's now quote the entire Braisa together. Dlishi yeshva yayin lovan echolav. If you have a bucket that had white wine or milk in it, beit biloy, and he toveled it with those liquids in it, pochen achar roiv, then we go according to the roiv, and we see how much of each kind of liquid is in the container. And therefore whether it can be bottled or not. Tosfos brings up a point that wine is usually diluted with water, and it's still considered water, and it's still considered wine mahalacha. So what do we care over here if you have a roiv of water? The fact is, wine is usually mixed. Wine in those days was usually mixed with a roiv of water. So Tosfos says, because we could be talking about over here either that the wine is already diluted, and therefore more dilution is not what you would normally do with wine, and therefore it can't be considered wine anymore, or that we're talking about some kinds of wines you don't dilute in the first place because they're not as strong. One thing that comes out of this and from various other sugyas on the subject is that once wine is mixed with five parts water or more, then it loses its status as wine. If the wine is less than 1/6 of the mixture, then it's not considered wine anymore. This is negeil halacha. For example, you have a person who wants to make kiddush, and they can't drink wine, and let's say they can't drink grape juice either, or let's say they don't have enough grape juice, and they want to dilute the wine with lots of water, they have to be careful how much they dilute it. And nowadays, in fact, many wines have water added to them during the manufacturing process. So they're not necessarily, unlike in the time of the Gemara, where they would start out with wine that was neat, and then you would add the water at home. Nowadays, very often you buy a bottle of wine and there's already water mixed in to some extent. So therefore, so the post can talk about how much water are you going to be able to add without making it that it's no longer considered wine mahalacha. So the Tanakhama says you go according to the roiv. Again, based on what Tosfos is saying, that because we're talking about over here, that this wine is not subject to dilution for one reason or another. Rabbi Yehuda says it. We just quoted before. Roy and Oisekilu Yain Adam. We have to consider that white wine as though it was red wine. Im diem areu kosher. And if there's enough water that it would dilute the color of the red wine kosher, then the tevila of the keli is kosher with the liquid in it. Being not possible, and if not, then it's possible because then you don't have not enough water got into it. So when we said before in Rish Lakish's din that we're not going to consider it as though it's min b'shein and minoy, that would be according to the Chachamim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll continue analyzing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because we're going to find something where Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself and gives an example where we're going to have an example where he doesn't seem to say Royin, even though where he does say Royin, but nevertheless he says that Royin is enough. So we'll deal with that tomorrow, Best Hashem.